This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run. Cut on every trash, see him team for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, Rule 76 comes later, and we've had a great substitute on the Rule 76. RJ has just done yeoman's work when we get to 7:59 in about 40-ish seconds, but that's a long time from now. From now until then, you've got it all. You've got laughter. You might have tears. You could have yelling. You could have wonderful sports talk. You could have good stories. You could have me, you could have Rick, you will have me. Rick, are you there? Rick is not. One more day, people. One more day. Rick, the expectation is that he will be back on Monday.
And I get the date.
New York.
Oh.
Oh. He might. Oh. Rick might be back on Monday. That's the expectation. But I do feel like we're trending in the right direction, and I'll tell you why. Because we have the group text. And you don't, I mean, this group text can go anywhere. It could be benign, and then all of a sudden you're talking about debaucherous things. It could be debaucherous, and then you get into hardcore sports talk. It could have the GMs of the station, John and Ryan, who say that they would be wonderful general managers in the NFL. They could be breaking down, you know, trades, insider picks, that kind of stuff. You could hear about a 12-team parlay from John Winthrop where he has like 99 cents on it to win $48. Like, anything can go on in this group text. And the group text, as always, has been very active this week. But Rick has been MIA. It'll be jokes, it'll be serious, it'll be levity, it'll be everything. Rick MIA. Until last night, he started to participate a little bit in the group text.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Yeah, I'd like it now, but it sounds like we're going to get it fully on Monday, and now he's participating in the group text. So I think that is step one, and at some point, maybe he'll prepare the full meal, right? Maybe the entire meal Rick will make.
I just said you were the meal, baby.
See? I'm the meal. He's preparing it. Away we go. 1-800-919-3776. All right. So, RJ, you didn't hear this. But before we get to the Mets and the Yankees, and I have a question to ask, and at 5:15, maybe 5:30, the dumbest take maybe in sports history was made by people yesterday. We will get to that in a little bit. But here's what I proposed to Raymond. He seemed to like it. I'd like to run it by you so we're all on the same page before I officially announce it. Can I talk to you for a moment, RJ?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I and not unilaterally, I would like this to be a joint decision. The trio deciding here. The three of us. Because yesterday I went rogue and I the 5:30, I wouldn't break, and it I know what happened with that. My question to you is, the draft is in 6 days from now. We are April 22nd. It is the 28th. How do you feel at 7:15 this morning about a frenzy?
I love everything about it.
You do?
Love everything about it.
Because I'm thinking last night, and I'm thinking about the Giants and what are they going to do, and the Jets, what are they going to do? I said, you know what? I think the people have their questions. I think the people want to chime in. How better to get the people involved than the frenzy? And then 7:15 is that sweet spot. Like, it allows me room to roam at 7 o'clock. And then at 7:15, we frenzy. And then we rattle out a lot of calls and fun and nonsense from 7:30 on.
I love it so much. I may leave the station just to call in.
Well, you don't have to leave. Why don't you just call from the other room?
I could do that. It might be a problem because I'm usually the one that answers the phone, so I don't know. But I guess it would be a lot for Ray.
I know. I have a great idea.
It wouldn't be nice to Ray.
Here's what you do. Go into the other room. Call. Then run back into this room. Answer the phone. Hello? You're on the frenzy.
But I wouldn't be there. I'd have to hang up on myself.
Right. Then say, hang on a minute. Run back in. You know, or say, what would you like to talk about? Run back into the other room. I got a question about the Cardinals. Okay, hang on. Run back in. What's your question? Run back in. Kyler Murray, does he stay on the Cardinals this year? Run back in. Put your Bluetooth, whatever the whole spiel is you do. No speaker, no Bluetooth, all that. Run back in. Okay, thank you. Run back in. Put it on hold.
What if I had a bad question, though? I'd have to hang up on myself.
Well, the nice thing about you screening yourself is you know in advance what the question, in fact, will be.
Yeah, you hope.
One does. All right. So 1-800-919-3776. Here's what I would like to get into. I'd like to start with the baseball. I'd like to get into maybe the dumbest take in the history of sports talk radio. Maybe. And I'm shocked. And here's the thing. You know me. I detest the Yankees. I will find any way under God's green earth to give the Yankees a hard time. This take yesterday was so obscenely bad that I am defending the Yankees and Aaron Boone all the way to the nth degree. But I will share that with you at either 5:15 or 5:30. I haven't yet decided yet, and I haven't even told the guys yet. Like, they're sitting there like, oh, I wonder what this scalding hot take is going to be. I will share it with you in a little bit. But I'd like to start with the local baseball, just an organic conversation. And we'll get into the NFL a little bit later. Debo Samuel, if you're the Jets, what do you do? We'll get into the Nets. And Steve Nash fighting for his coaching career, because I think it's fair to say he just might be. You might get to the end of the season. They might lose this series in five. And you might not have a choice anymore if you're Kevin Durant. We can't in good faith keep Steve Nash as the head coach. By the way, talk about it. If the Knicks, and who have had many moments of just obscurity and irrelevance and awful basketball over the last 20-plus years, if the Knicks ever lost a playoff game, like Memphis beat Minnesota last night, and the Knicks were on the losing end of that, I'm not doing the show. I'm sleeping in. I have head under the covers, and I don't come out for 48 hours. You're up by 25 at home, late stages of the third quarter, and you lose by double digits. I don't think you ever recover from that. You were outscored 50-13 after being up by 25. So we'll get there as well. The Jazz are a joke, by the way. I mean, you can't win at home against Dallas without Luka Doncic. That is an embarrassment. But we start with the local baseball. And I want to get into the Mets and the Yankees individually, but here's the question I have, okay? I have said many times how I'm unimpressed with the Yankees. I think they're slow. I think they're plodding. I think they had an average offseason. And I get a lot of in return. You don't know what you're talking about. It's early stages of the season. They're 8-7. Maybe it's 7-6. But regardless, they're one game over 500. They're going to be fine.
Fake news.
They're going to be fine. You have nothing to worry about. Nothing at all to worry about. 7-6, by the way. Toronto, 8-5. Tampa also 7-6. Red Sox 6-7. They're going to be fine. You have absolutely no reason to remotely worry. Okay, fine. I leave that and we walk away. And then I look at the Mets. And every time I get excited about the Mets, and that's you win 3 out of 4 against the Giants, and you get a dominant pitching performance if you had to rank them, your third starter, your fourth starter, your fifth starter? I don't even know where he ranks here. But Carrasco gives you the first pitcher for the Mets this year, starter to pitch into the eighth inning, gives you a great start. You feel wonderful about it. You know, Lindor has been the superstar that he wasn't last year. He's been every bit of that this year. Escobar, Canna, the whole thing. Just a phenomenal performance from the Mets yesterday. And not every time, but oftentimes, and a lot of people had that miserable jerk yesterday, I forget his name, who called and the Mets were going to be a stink, they're going to wind up in July. We know what they are, right? That guy. So here's my question on both sides. At what point can I look at the Yankees and say my concern is legitimate? So they're 7-6. They've played no games. They've played 13 of 162. They've done nothing. But I see the same issues, right? I mean, they don't score. They couldn't score off Pineda and a list of pedestrian relievers. They had first and third, one out in the eighth yesterday. They had bases loaded. They had first and third, nobody out in the eighth. Bases loaded, one out in the eighth, and wound up with nothing. So my question is, at what point can I sit here and say, I have real reservations and concern about the Yankees, where people out there will say, it's not too early, it is time, and you're right. So that's question one. Take that, put it to the side, 1-800-919-3776. And then on the flip side, I have the same question about the Mets, but in reverse. And my question about the Mets is, all right, I'm excited. The pitching looks great. There's an adult in the room in Showalter. The new acquisitions have been wonderful. I think there's real reason for excitement. And more often than not, I bring to the table of, well, look at this. Look at where we are with the Mets. And the response I get is, they're going to fall apart. They're going to fall apart in flaming fashion because that's what they do and that's what they've done every year. What this year is no different, Dave, than any other season. None. They stink when you get to July or August or September, and they're great when you're in April, May, and June. Now, I have a feeling this year is going to be very different. But my question to you on each side, so the Mets fan can play and the Yankees fan can play, is if you're a Mets fan, or even if you're a Yankees fan and you're analyzing the Mets, that's fair too. At what point do you look at it and say, you know what? Maybe it's different this year. Is it May 1? Is it June 1? Is it July 1? Is it August 1? Like, at what point do you get here in the season that as a Mets fan you look at it and say, yeah, you know what? They're legitimate. And I'd even welcome the other side of it. Like the Yankees fan who always sits here and tells us that the Mets are not for real. The Mets always choke. The Mets are a great team in April, May, and June. And when you get to July, they fall apart. So then you tell me, where is that line in the sand where even the person that detests the Mets or loves the Yankees or whatever it happens to be looks at this thing and says, yeah, you know what? They're for real. I'm there now. Like, they don't win 3 out of 4 in this series last year. They don't. I don't care if it's April or May or whenever it is. They just don't. But this year, they do. They're better. They are. You look at the lineup. You look at Lindor. You didn't have this Lindor last year. Escobar's a nice player. A really good player. All right, Canna is a clutch player. The pitching staff is good. It might be better than good. The bullpen is fine, but it's a good team. And if you can't see it yet, then at what point do you actually see it? And that's what I want to hear from you guys this morning. At what point do you actually say the Mets are legit? And at what point is it okay for me to sit here and say, or you to sit here and say, you know what? There are real glaring problems with the Yankees. Because I'm sitting there watching that game yesterday, and I mean, I'm sorry. I know that you might think it's premature. There are problems with the Yankees. I don't know if this stat is accurate, but I saw this. And I thought to myself, it's one of those, it can't be right that for the last 21 starts, the Yankees have scored 3 or less runs for Jordan Montgomery. Can that possibly be true? That in his last 21 starts, they haven't gotten to more than 3 runs for him in any of those? I mean, guys, it's the same problem. Now, I know what you'll hear. It was really cold. It's getaway day. They still won 2 out of 3. Why are we always making excuses for the Yankees? Why? Why can't we just sit here and put on our big boy pants and admit there is a problem? They don't hit. Offensively, they are a problem. They are. And no one wants to admit it. but it's time. Or maybe it's not. And if it's not, when is? And the Mets, strap on, baby. We're in for a fun, fun ride. So we'll get into the specifics of the game. We'll hear from Aaron Boone, who is a wonderful guy. And I got to know him a little bit when he used to work at ESPN. But it feels like a lot of this is kind of out of his control. And he doesn't have a lot to say. And when he does, he is a player's manager, and he's very excuse-driven.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Music's got to be a little better today.
What's wrong with this?
I mean, if you're like sleepy at the wheel and you're driving into work right now early on a Friday morning, you're like, give me something that, something that moves the needle. Something that's bouncy.
That's not bouncy? Eh. You don't consider Freaky Friday, Chris Brown?
It feels benign to me.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
That's like your opinion, man.
Well, yes. Pretty much everything we do on the show is opinion-based, Raymond.
I think it's fine.
Oh, okay, great. You know, I wasn't even mean about it. You know what? I might keep it up. I might just fly right through the 5:30 break again if you keep it up. Is that what you want?
I think you've been very sensitive this week.
I don't think so. RJ, do you think I might fly right through the 5:30 break the way he's treating me?
I'd hope not. There were calls after the show yesterday. I got emails. Things were not doing correctly. I don't need
to. Do you agree with me about the music then?
I thought the music was fine.
Fine. Okay, of course. So it's the two of you against me. Keep it up, and I'll fly right through the break. Right through it if you keep it up. So I had this awkward moment yesterday, really awkward moment. And I'm hopeful that this guy's not listening. But if he is, he is. It's not the end of the world. And by the way, we'll get to the Mets and the Yankees in a moment. So I'm not even going to say where. I'm walking out of a store and I run into a guy that I know that I used to coach Little League with. And he's a nice guy. And I know him, right?
Richard Shishkinsky.
Not Shishkinsky. All right. And I'm like, hey, how are you? He said, good. How are you? I'm like, good. I said, how's the family? Good.
Wonderful. Listen, I saw your mom naked. And I'm like, okay.
Didn't go there. And how's your family? Great. Okay. And then I have the moment like 12 to 15 seconds in where I'm like, I don't want to be involved in this conversation. But it's awkward if it stops too quickly. So it so what did you do anything for spring break? Or how did that? Oh, yeah, we went to Colorado. Oh, that's nice. How about you? No, I don't usually take a break. You know, Ben's playing baseball. He's really not allowed to go away during a spring break. And we're usually summer, you know, vacation. Okay. And then it's like, okay, at what point have I put in enough time where I can get out of this thing? Like, at what point have I put in enough time where I could be like, all right, listen, it was great to see you. Hope you're well. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. But it felt like 45 seconds in, I couldn't do it. A minute in, I couldn't do it. Finally, he's just like, so, how's work? I'm like, why do I have to go here with this guy? Why do I have to go here? And I said, you know what? And I think, and Sherry got upset. She's like, why would you say this? I said, you know what? I think I'm done. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, I think we've covered what we need to cover, and I think I'm done. And he was taken aback. And she's like, well, why do you have to go there? I don't know why I had to go there, but I wanted to get out. So I pressed the parachute and I got out. And maybe it was the immature wrong move, but it was nothing to be gained. I was not having a good time during said conversation, and I wanted out of the conversation, and that's what I did. So judge me if you want, but I don't think there's anything wrong with being involved heavily in a conversation that you don't want to be involved in and just, you know what? I don't want to be involved in this conversation anymore. I'm done. I'm out. And that's what I did. And there you go. And you can judge me for it, and that's fine. But I do it again. And that's my new way. You know, the masks were beautiful. As bad as COVID has been, the masks were gorgeous because you could put on a mask, you have on a hat, you could pretend you don't even see the person and walk right on by. That's now done. You're outside. No reason for a mask anymore. And now you make eye contact and there's nothing you can do. Well, that's my out. And I stand by it and I do it again. All right, 1-800-919-3776. I think you always start with the dysfunction, right? That's what we've kind of figured here. And maybe they're not dysfunctional, but they are more dysfunctional than the Mets. And that is the Yankees. I mean, doesn't it feel like the same recipe every day now? Like, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get terrific starting pitching. You've got a lockdown bullpen, and you can't hit the baseball. And that's because if Stanton and Judge are not hitting home runs or crushing the ball, the Yankees struggle to score runs. So look at what they've done recently. They scored one run against the Orioles. They got shut out by the Orioles. They score no runs against the Tigers. They are offensively challenged. And I know that you'll hear, they'll be fine. There's nothing to worry about. It's a long season. Fair. It is. But what is the rationale behind, other than just belief, blind faith, this thing changes? I don't understand the mindset of that. 1-800-919-3776. Let's sprinkle in some calls. I haven't decided as of yet if I'm just going to blow right through this break.
Because
I might. I don't know what I'm going to do. All right? It might be like the encounter I had with the gentleman yesterday.
You know what? I don't know.
I don't know at this moment. Rob in West Babylon. Rob, you're first up. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, Dave. Two quick points here. Used to not like you. This show came on. Now I love you. Rick goes away. I really missed Rick again. But I still love you.
Wait. Let's get to the bottom of this quickly, and then we'll get to your Yankees point. What did you not like about me and or the show? And was it you didn't like the show or you didn't like me specifically?
To be fair, I think it was more of you. I mean, I'm a big Michael Kay fan. But this is going, you know, a couple of years back where I just listened to you. And it was just something about you I didn't like, the snarky sarcasm. But I love it. I love it now. I'm the same way. So I love it.
Okay. All right. So I'm surprised that you never fell in love with me originally. But that's fine. I understand. So
no,
now
no,
you, you miss
love
Rick,
now.
I think.
All love now.
Okay, good. All right. So now where are we? Bring me to your Yankees point now, Rob.
My Yankees point now. I think the Yankees are in that point where they're at. They always, you can always make the playoffs, but that's like the worst thing for a franchise, because where do you go from just being first round, second round out? You're never getting to the big game. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but
that's
you,
my
but
second
you need
point.
To, the Yankees can't miss the playoffs. Because I would ask you this. What's the benefit of the Yankees missing the postseason?
There's zero benefit.
Exactly. So I could understand if you're like NFL and you don't want to, like if you're the Minnesota Vikings and you say, I don't want to go 9-8 and get in and get hammered and then run it back with Cousins again. I'd rather be 3-14 and draft the you know, Bryce Young or somebody like that. I could understand that take. If the Yankees go, you know, 85 and whatever that amounts to, right, on the loss side, 85 wins.
Yep.
What's the positive? What good happens?
No positive. I'm just saying I think they need to change something up, which is obvious. Obvious. And my third point is Yankee fans, like the guy called yesterday who you just destroy every time he calls. This is probably the same guy that when they got Joey Gallo so excited, oh, Joey Gallo's going to hit home runs. He's also going to strike out 2-3 times a game. So that's my three takes. Have a good day.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the call. Here's the thing with Joey Gallo. At what point is enough enough? See, it seems like Glaber is the odd man out now, right? Because now he was awful in Baltimore. He's been benched the last couple of games. Glaber's not playing. When do we get to the point where Joey Gallo doesn't play? Because I don't know if you've... Like, I watch Gallo play, and it's... I hate to say it. He's awful. I mean, he's non-competitive at bats. And it's not like he bats ninth, where you can say... Every once in a while, he'll walk into a home run, and he's able to just because he's Joey Gallo. He's bad, and it's strikeouts. It's not hard hit balls, and the other side of it as well. The home runs, they happen. Well, when we're 13 games in, he has none. So again, it's a small sample size, right? But you'll wake up in a couple days and you'll be 20 games in, and then you wake up after that and you'll be 30. I wonder if there's a plan. And not that they've told Gallo, like, when we get to 36 games, if you still stink, you're not playing. But I wonder if internally, because, you know, they discuss days off. They discuss everything. If the Yankees brass is having the conversation of, you know what, we're going to give them another 8, 10, 12 games. At some point, we have to start to make changes because he's just a major, major problem at this point. So here we are again. 5:30, we look it right in the eye, right in the face, to break or not to break. Now, my intent was to break because that's the appropriate thing to do, and I'd like to think that I am probably the adult in the room. But here's the thing. I don't think when I was very nice about it, when I said to Raymond, maybe a little better music, he was very nasty to me. And very, you were, Raymond, and very confrontational towards me. We need to break, otherwise more people will die. I'm not going to break because I think the two of you need to realize that you need to be nicer to me. So, RJ, I'm sorry if that entails calls for you or emails for you or management gets
calls,
involved,
calls.
But I'm going to take this thing all the way to 555 yet again.
Who the hell are you?
I am the man hosting the show. By the way, tweet comes in. Good tweet. Fair question. Are we doing the roast this morning? Oh, are we doing the roast? Absolutely, we're doing the roast.
Top of the morning.
Yeah,
top
of
the morning.
We're roasting at 6:45. It's all, everything you get on the show, and even more so because we're foregoing the break right now. Everything you typically get on the show, you'll get on the show, and then some, because we've added a last-minute frenzy at 7:15. 1-800-919-3776. I mean, what is there to say about the Mets? You had, and I don't even think it's a bad loss on Wednesday night, but you have a loss on Wednesday night, and you knew from the jump that you weren't going to win that game. Bassett got hit around, three runs in the first. You're in trouble the whole way. Rodon is just, oh boy, is he good. I wanted the Mets to sign him this offseason. He is absolutely sensational. So he goes out there on Wednesday, pitches a gem. You get beaten at home after winning the doubleheader the day before. And again, if the Mets would have lost yesterday, you split a four-game set against San Francisco, you can't be horrified by that. But that's not what this Mets team does. This current Mets team, they show up, and they take care of business, and very workmanlike yesterday. Carrasco started out not awful, but a little rocky, got his sea legs under him, got better as the game went on. and offensively very, very good again. You get a home run from Lindor, a home run from Escobar. You get a, I thought the biggest hit of the game was the two-out, two-RBI single from Canna, which pushed it from 3-1 to 5-1. Mets go on cruise control after that, and here you are, Mets fans. The question remains, by the way, at what point, when you look at the Mets, and this is for everyone, for the Mets fan, for the Yankees fan, for everyone, can you say, this team is different, this team is legit? Here is Buck Showalter. What does it mean to take 3 of 4 from a team like San Francisco?
I will tell you probably nothing, but with our guys, because there are so many games left, and I think it's a given where teams like them are going to beat. You know, if you're going to, sometimes if you're going to get somebody that's really good, you better get them early before they kind of fall in line with what they're, who they are and what they're going to be. But I don't think our guys feel any different about, you know, whether they can compete for what we're trying to do. Because we won 3 out of 4 from the team that won the most games in baseball last year, but can't hurt. But I don't think they're going to be on the plane going, wow, it's all, I don't think they're, I hope they're not thinking that deep.
It's great. See, how could you not love Buck Showalter, who says the right thing all the time? Every single time you hear me, like, yep, that's our manager. That's the guy that you have confidence in. And again, you shouldn't be celebratory, but you should be excited. And I think the Mets fan is. And I think the Yankees fan is nervous. Because I think the Yankees fan looks at it right now and says, because there's a lot of Yankees fans that can't stand the Mets. And look at them as the arch enemy. I don't know why. And the Yankees have owned this town for such a long time. But I think that a lot of Yankees fans look at the Mets and feel threatened, especially now. Because there's an owner that's going to go out and spend whatever money needs to be spent. Bullpen's not great. Don't worry. I got you. You get us in position. I will get us over the hump. With spending as much money as necessary. And I heard yesterday someone said to me, said, you know, this will never be a Mets town. This was a Mets town. Now, you might not remember it, and I'm sure Raymond doesn't even remember it, and RJ doesn't remember it, but when I was a kid, in 84 through the rest of the 80s, this was absolutely a Mets town.
We're in the New York Mets. We got a good team.
The Yankees were irrelevant. The Mets had all the personality. The Mets had all the star players. The Mets were winning every year. No, I don't mean ultimately winning, but they were winning games every year. They were the better New York team. So, listen, you're 30 years old. You're 35 years old. You might not have any recollection that at any point in time, this was a Mets town. In the mid to late 80s, this was a Mets town. And I don't think that we can't get back there. Now, I don't think the Yankees will ever dip down to the point where they're winning 77 games and somewhat irrelevant again. But this was a Mets town, and it could be again. Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Listen, Dave, I consider you my boy, man, so I'm going to talk to you real here.
All right, hang on a second now, Kenny. Before we get there, we will. How do you feel about the fact, because I know you are Team Rothenberg and the guys on the other side of the glass tend to be negative and very scared of doing new things. How do you feel that we've blown right through the 5:30 break and we go all the way to 5:55?
See, I was going to address that. See, okay. I think right now you went vogue on them. You went rogue. I mean, you're excited about the Mets, and now you're taking chances. I think right now you should just calm down, take a step back, take a couple breaths, and know that we're talking about the New York Mets, who I love the Mets. But right now, I'm starting to realize, Dave, a lot of my misery probably comes from you and listening to you.
Wait. How am I to receive the blame for your misery, Kenny?
That's a great question. I'm going to answer that for you. Every year when the Mets get hot or do their little thing, you get me all excited. I'm jumped all the way out, and then you have me jump 2 feet back in. And me and you, we silly goofy over the Mets. And then what happened? They let us down every year, Dave. Every year they let us down. And this year, yes, we do look a little different. We got a great manager. We got a good ball team. So let's just temper the expectations. You know what I mean?
And just no, I'm not doing it, Kenny.
Doing
Kenny,
right now.
No, I'm not.
Dave,
I will not. I'm not doing it.
Dave.
It's different, Kenny. It's different.
Dave, you're killing me, and you got to stop doing this to us. You're not only killing me, you're not only killing you, but the millions of people and Mets fan that's listening to you. You're killing us.
So, Kenny, you sit there. You sit there on the side. I said, look, I have a beautiful pastrami sandwich on rye, RJ. A beautiful pastrami sandwich. And I said, would you like half my sandwich? No. Why? I don't want it. Well, you know what? It's time. It is time to take a big bite out of the sandwich. You know what you're like, Kenny? Here's what you're like. You date the gorgeous girl, and it ends terribly. And then you date another girl, and you like her, and she could be the one, and she's not, and it ends poorly. And then you date another girl, and you like her, and you tell people about her, and it doesn't pan out. And then you date the next girl, and it's all the same feelings, and you think this could be the one. Let yourself go, Kenny. This could be the one.
And let me tell you what the Mets are like. The Mets are like that Charlie Brown thing where the girl hold the football.
What do you mean the girl? The girl is Lucy. What do you mean the girl?
When Lucy holds the football and Charlie Brown is sure this time that he's going to be able to kick this ball. And every time she snaps.
All right, Kenny, so now, you know what I'm going to do with you right now? I'm going to pose my original question to you. At what point is it okay for the Mets fan and you and everyone to look at this club and say, it's all right to believe? When has that happened for you?
I mean, there's no specific time, but I would say late August, if they're up, 10, 11 games, then really getting knee-deep into it.
You're not going to let yourself go until the Mets are up 10 or 11 games in late August?
How can you? Dave, where have you been the last 20 years?
Kenny, I got to move on. I can't continue this conversation.
You got to believe.
So unless you have an insurmountable lead with no games to play, he refuses to believe. Is awful. Now, I thought I had heard the worst sports take I've heard in a long time, but that might be right there as well. If you don't see anything different, then at what point do you? And don't give me this end of August. Yeah. How about this? If we're up by 11 games September 1, I think you have to believe. Yeah, that's great.
No trust. Kenny's damaged.
Really going out on a limb. Now, RJ, how are we, you and I, like as a duo? Because I've done this again. I'm going to take it right to 555. I know you feel a way about that. How are we? Are we okay? Is this reparable? Have we fallen out that it'll never happen again? Like, where are we right now?
I think we're okay. I think it's been better, but we'll work around it. I appreciate what you're doing. I mean, you want to talk to the people. But I'd clear some time after the show. Maybe a little, a little meeting action.
No, I'm not having a meeting after the show. I'll tell you what I'm doing after the show. I'm going to bed after the show.
Wow, going rogue again. Double down.
I'm not going rogue. I'm not having any stupid meetings after the show.
Oh, it won't be me that calls the meeting.
I don't care who calls the meeting. I'm not having a I've been lifting. I'm like Schwarzenegger here. All right, I'm lifting all the weight for four consecutive days.
Those were huge, fat people.
Now, usually I have Rick to be here and be like, oh, did you see that? Did you see this? Making these comments. I'll go right after this guy or that guy. Or a bosom popped out. Like, at any point, Rick could say anything like that. And he's not even here to help me this week. So you think at 8 o'clock this morning, when I'm done giving you three breakless hours, that I'm going to sit down for a meeting with you?
All right, here we go, Feather.
No.
It appears you're not.
No, there's zero chance. But I wanted to go here with you. I said to you yesterday, two things with you. One, you heard my story earlier about how I am not having conversation anymore just for the sake of conversation out in public. How did you feel about that?
It honestly sounds like an episode of Curb. Honestly. Can't you just picture the music behind it?
You should have seen his face when I said, listen, there's nothing more to gain from this. I'm going to go.
I mean, we've all been there. You run into someone, and there's the brief, 3 seconds of elation followed by, how do I get out of this?
Well, I was like, hey, how you doing? He's like, I'm good. How are you? I'm also good. And then right there, okay, now we're 5 seconds in. I got nothing more.
Well, you know where the issue is. This is not a man that you were organically friends with. You became friends because you were in contact because of your kids, correct? Coaching baseball?
Yeah, but I wouldn't even, friends periphery.
So,
yeah,
exactly.
We have mutual friends in common.
Well, you know what else is happening is, the world's kind of getting a little back to normal, trending in that direction. And the shine has worn off. Like, oh, people again. We're back to normal. We are regressing towards the mean of, oh, a person. Could I avoid them? Oh, no, they've made eye contact.
Yeah, I couldn't avoid.
Yeah, what's the minimum amount of time I got to hang in here?
I thought it was like, I think I gave 45 seconds. And after 45 seconds, like, I found out how he was doing. I found out how his family was doing. I found out why he was in the location that he was.
And that's it.
And that's, I needed no more.
So if he followed up with one more question, are you just walking away?
Yeah. Well, I said, listen, I think we've done all we need to do here and I'm going to go. So and he's like, what?
So that might be it though with this guy.
Oh, and I'm fine with that. No, I had this. And then the reason I brought you on here is I want to tell you one more quick one. And then, what did I want to do? Now I'm forgetting what I wanted to do. Oh, and then I told you the dumbest take I've heard in a long time. I promise I'd share that with you. I'm going to share that with you as well in just a moment. So I had this. So this another Curb episode. So we just had moved to the town we live in, and this is, I mean, a long time ago. It's got to be a good decade ago. Yet now it's appropriate. For the first time, you actually finally got it right. So we moved to the town that we live in now, and we went out with a couple. Right? Because you're trying to kind of establish your friendship group and do we like this person and, oh, these seem nice. And it's all via the kids and the kids were friends. So we're going to go out with this couple. Okay? So we go out with this couple, lovely couple, very nice. But we realized halfway through the dinner, there's nothing there. Like, they're nice.
There's no spark.
There's no spark. Does the friendship really need to ensue and continue? No. So we go out, great time, you know, not great time, like good time, very nice people, lovely people, but we did not envision a future of like, we're going to be friends for the duration.
You couldn't see a future together.
We did not see a future as a couple together, no. So we decided we're going to get out of this thing. She winds up catastrophically ill. Catastrophically ill. And as she's recovering from illness, reaches out and says, you know, I'm very ill. We really want you guys to come over. And it's like, what? Now we have to go over? So we had to, now we have to go over. And I said to Sherry, now are we locked in where we can't get out, or we just have to be in? So we go over and we're there and I'm miserable about it. And I wasn't a baby, and I can't tend to be a baby in these situations. I was mature, and I was like, fine, she's ill. I'll deal with it. We'll sit there. And they invited other family members to hang out with us because they heard we're so nice, and the friendship is at this unbelievable level right now.
So they misread the situation. Did
totally she? Misread it. Finally, when she got back to good health, we got out of it.
Was she ill from dinner?
No, it wasn't from dinner. Like, she got organically ill in life.
But she's better now.
She's better now.
Yeah, that's a tough spot.
And upon her getting the clearance, we immediately got our clearance and we're out.
She misread the situation. She had you meet the family and friends.
Yes.
After one date.
It was awful. I remember yelling at Sherry, like, how dare you? She's like, what did I do?
Yeah, I always remember, and I found it odd at the time, but I get it now. When I first started working with Michael and Don, and you know, you go through that age and you're like mid to upper 20s where you're going to a bunch of weddings. They would just say, you got to trim the tree. And I didn't get it back then. You know, you're keeping too many people in your circle. I was like, these are popular guys. That's a little weird coming from them. Now, you know, 6, 7, 8 years later,
yeah,
I get it.
You can't have too big of a circle. 1-800-919-3776. I want to take one more call, and then I will give you what I thought was really, and it was all over the place yesterday, a grotesque sports take. Joe and Merrick. Joe, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. I wanted to start by telling you how awesome you are, because without Rick there, you don't give a beat. You are awesome.
So let me see if I... Hang on a second, Joe. Now let's see if I have this accurately. You are telling me that the show Me Solo is every bit as good if Rick is here and you adore me. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You just tell me if that's an accurate assessment of the situation.
Perfectly accurate.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Perfectly accurate.
All right, now the floor is yours, Joe. Have at it.
Okay, now, point is, you know why you got to believe in the Mets? Yeah, it goes to my point. You have the manager. And as a Yankee fan, who always hated the Mets because what we dread is you guys winning a World Series like back in 86 and us having to hear it. You have Buck Showalter, one of the great baseball minds, was a Yankee manager. He built the stage. Joe Torre got the dance on it. You know, good luck to the Mets. I think they're going to win the World Series, if not this year, next year. And that's it. My point's done.
I appreciate the call, the very kind words. I think we certainly make note that he looks at what's happening on the show and thinks that it's an absolute treat, maybe like a blessing in disguise that Rick is a little under the weather. I think I miss him. I look forward to Monday, but I think the three of us right now are doing yeoman's work, a very nice job on the show. We got to get into the Nets. We'll do that in, 15 minutes. Of course, it's Friday morning roasting at 6:45, and we've established the frenzy at 7:15 as well. Here's my take, and it was on what happened in the Yankees game yesterday. So I'm watching the game, and two outs, man on second, Miguel Cabrera comes to the plate. He has 2,999 hits in his career. I think Yankees fan, everyone wants to see this guy go for 3,000. It's a thrilling, exciting moment of what has been a sensational player. And my thought is, as the play happens right before he steps to the plate, well, you're gonna walk him, right? I mean, you have a lefty against a righty. The guy on deck is a lefty. It's still Miguel Cabrera. It's two outs, man on second. You're gonna walk him. And then Cabrera comes to the plate, and they walk him. And it's exactly what they should have done. Like it's rudimentary baseball. It's baseball 101. In that situation, now it didn't pan out because Meadows got the hit. Two runs scored. Okay, not every decision you make always pans out properly. But it was unequivocally the right decision. And I mean, the vitriol and the anger and the outrage over people, that's not what you do. What a terrible job. That's grotesque. How about the fans? You're trying to win a game. You know what would be more disrespectful to the fans? Is if you said, you know what? Let's pitch to Cabrera because we want to give everyone a chance to see 3,000. That's what you want? You want now managers to start doing things so that it's an enjoyable game to go to? Did you enjoy? Oh, I enjoyed the game. Why'd you enjoy the game? Because they gave this guy a chance to get to 3,000. Now, and then I heard, see, Kershaw, they take him out of the game. They don't pitch to Cabrera. They don't care about the fans. Well, here's the thing. Should they know? I mean, you think Aaron Boone is there to make friends, or you think Aaron Boone is there to try and win games? And you know what happens if Miguel Cabrera hits his 3,000th and hits a two-run homer? How could you pitch to Cabrera? What a stupid job that was. And it would be. Like, this is so many things that we sit here and we get into are you know what, up for discussion. Was it the right move? I don't know. Let's discuss. This was the most obvious decision in the history of decisions. You had to walk him. And I see, like, legitimate baseball people saying, oh, they don't care about the fans. What a terrible job. If that is your take, then you do not understand the game of baseball like you think you might do. It's an awful, embarrassing take from you is what it is. Here is Aaron Boone after the game, after the decision, saying it was difficult. But it's what he had to do.
Absolutely. I mean, you can make the case of, you know, bringing the on base into play that it's, you know, questionable anyway. It was close. Just being down in that spot, you know, felt like that was the matchup we wanted there. And, you know, obviously understanding the moment in time. So, yeah, a little more gut-wrenching than usual.
All right, fine. You want to say it was a difficult decision because you want to give the guy the opportunity to go for 3,000? I don't care. It's the right decision. It's the right decision every single day of the week. You want to see Meadows or you want to see Cabrera in that spot? Now, did it play out well for the Yankees? It did not. But the take was, it was shocking. It was a great, how could you have such a take? No, you got to pitch to him. Why? Because it's good for the fan. What's good for the fan? Did you feel great Was it great for the fan when Michael Strahan and Brett Favre played God and said, I'm gonna roll out to the right, you tackle me, and now you get the wreck? Is that what you want? All right, we'll pitch to Cabrera. Miggy, maybe a fastball down the middle. If you can hit it, you can hit it. Is that what you want? No. He's going to get 3,000. He's an all-time great. He deserves 3,000. Everything he gets, he deserves. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And it should happen organically. It should not be, well, ordinarily, we'd walk the guy here. But because Cabrera is on the verge of 3,000, all right, now let's pitch to him. Well, you guys are, oh, it really was just awful. Here is Littke, who was on the mound at the time, with the decision to put Cabrera on base.
That's Boone's decision. When Blake came out there, we were going over the game plan to face Cabrera. That was Boone's decision, and rightfully so. We had a lefty on deck. We're trying to win a game where, as great as it is to see 3,000, you know, we're not concerned of that as much as they are.
You expected it.
I assumed it was going to happen with the lefty being on deck, yeah.
Because it had to. It was the only choice the Yankees could have made. Now, here's the people that agree, I don't even need to hear from you because you're right and that's what should happen. I would love to hear from anyone quickly who takes the other way of, in that moment, pitch to Cabrera. And I won't even yell at you. I want to have an honest debate with you of why that was such the right move and why your opinion is completely wrong. But I won't yell at you, I promise. 1-800-919-3776. 76. Cullum in the Bronx. Good morning, Cullum. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. And you know I'm a Dave guy. Shout out to the company really quick. The show, we don't need Rick. Rick enhances it, but he's like, I don't know, he's like a cherry on top of an extravagant cake. It makes it better, but it's already perfect.
Well, here's what I would say to that. Not, I miss him, and I look forward to him returning on Monday, which is the belief what will happen. Who puts cherries on extravagant cakes?
I don't know. I was just trying to give some kind of analogy, but how do you make perfection better? I don't know.
I like where you're going here, Cullum. Continue.
Okay, so my point about the Yankees, and I'm absolutely concerned about the Yankees and concerned about the offense. The pitching has been phenomenal to start the year. And if the Yankees right now, they're the 24th in runs in the league. If they were middle of the road, they were the 15th in runs in the league, they would be a 10-win team right now, and everybody would be singing how well they started off the year. Now, the offense is just terrible. And last year, Yankee organization, Cashman and everybody looked into the face of the fans and said, oh, this all-righty lineup is going to work. You guys don't know what you're talking about. They can hit in all different lanes. It doesn't matter. They can hit. It's going to work. And then trade deadline comes around, and they said, oh, well, our idea was completely wrong. Let's go out and get Rizzo. Let's go out and get Gallo, and let's fix our dumb mistakes. Why not this year, the way they're building it and the way they're thinking and the way their analytics are, why not this year, whatever they're doing is terribly wrong and they're looking in our face and saying, it's going to work. And I think I'm not the Yankee fan that says, oh, I hope they lose. But I fancy myself as kind of smart when it comes to sports. I'm not great, but I think I'm right when I'm looking at the Yankees. I don't want to be right, but it doesn't look like this team is going to do anything, and they expanded the playoffs. I think they'll make a wild card, but I don't know right now.
Yeah, I think it's a fair take, and I think it's a very popular take. Is there at least the seedlings of concern? 1-800-919-3776, and maybe even more so than that. But you're right. Because they admitted without admitting last year at the trade deadline, they bring in Gallo, they bring in Rizzo, we need lefty bats and we need to make a change. Maybe they need to make more changes now. I mean, can you go with this catching duo all season? What are you going to do with Gleyber Torres? Like, there are decisions that need to be made. Are you just going to roll out Gallo every single day and watch him go 0-for-4 every day? I don't know. At some point, something's got to change. Now, WWE SmackDown returns to Nassau Coliseum on Friday, May 6th, which, if my calculations are correct, 2 weeks from today. Now, that's for the first time in 9 years with a WrestleMania 38 rematch between Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. plus undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns, Ronda Rousey, SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair, who I met years ago at the Garden, very nice, Drew McIntyre, and many more. Be listening later in today's show for your chance to score a pair of tickets brought to you by WWE. Tickets start at just $20 and are available now at Ticketmaster.com. Santiago, Charlotte Flair is the Nature Man's daughter, right?
I don't know who the Nature Man daughter, but the Nature Boy Ric Flair's daughter, sure.
But he's not. He's like in his 70s. He's no longer the Nature Boy. Now he's the Nature Man.
The Nature Man.
Yeah.
The Nature Man. I don't.
He's the Nature Man.
No. He is.
All right.
He can be 90 years old, and he will forever be known as the Nature Boy.
No, I think at some point we have to grow up. And now is the time that everyone needs to grow up. He is the Nature Man.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.